the Church of Shear Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, welcomes you to this edition of Shear Jashub, a Bible study program featuring the ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and in today's broadcast, we will conclude a sermon in my husband's series on the book of Romans. In the current sermon, Pastor Greg was up to chapter 2 and verse 25, where Paul references circumcision and the law. In order to better understand the apostle's point, Pastor went back into the Old Testament book of Genesis for the history of this practice and the covenant God makes with Abraham. In Moses' words in Deuteronomy and Jeremiah's prophecies, a spiritual symbol then develops, and these servants of God speak to the people about circumcising the heart and the ear. Let's rejoin Pastor Greg Scalzo, and we will go back a minute or so for context.
That's why Paul says here in Romans chapter 2 and verse 25, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." There's really no preference to you over the Gentiles. You can't just sit there and say, "Well, I have Abraham as my father." It's not enough. You need circumcised ears, a circumcised heart. Remember we read in Romans chapter 2 where he says, "For as many as have sinned without the law will perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law." And then in 2:15, "Who show the work of the law written in their hearts," speaking about Gentiles, some Gentiles, "their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." We discussed that several times back. Written in their hearts, cardia. It's the writing on the hearts, the circumcision of the heart. Now, it's so important to the promises of God to understand that when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, Luke chapter 2, verse 21, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus is a Jew. He is a descendant of Abraham. He is one of the covenant. Only a Jew could be the one. Salvation, what does it say, comes from the Jews. Okay. So there's an importance to that contract, that covenant, that cannot be replaced and done away with. You know, replacement theology says that because the Jewish people did not accept Jesus as their Messiah, they're totally out of the plan of God. There's no place for them. And anything you read, any promises that sound like it's to them, it's to the church. The church replaces Israel. And that's not true. But those promises do overflow to us, right? Because in Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are yea and amen. Really, you have a physical chosen people, and you have a spiritual chosen people. And yes, it is true, the calling of the circumcision of the heart is higher than the calling of the circumcision of the flesh. Matter of fact, when is God really delighted? When those who have the circumcision of the flesh have the circumcision in the heart. We're going to see that's the restoration. That's the renewal of all things. Right? But because you have now all the symbolism in the chosen people of Israel applying to this spiritual chosen people, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a chosen people, Peter says. We are the chosen people of God in this greater covenant, this new covenant, does not negate or make empty the promises of God under the first covenant to Abraham and his physical descendants. A matter of fact, we're going to see, for the fulfillment, which is Jesus Christ coming back, those under that first covenant have to say, Baruch haba b'Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and then Satan's rule is done. Now, if you have, I'm going to jump ahead. If you have a replacement theologist who forgets God's promise to Israel, most of them are post-millennialists, meaning the church is going to bring in the millennium, and they don't believe Jesus is coming back before the millennium. They forget the Jews being God's chosen people. It opens the door for all the horrors of what you have in history by many mainline Christian churches against Jewish people, right? Nazism is a pagan religion. There's nothing Christian, and I was reading a book. This was written by a Jew who recognized that there was nothing about Nazism that's Christian. They were not Christians. They hated Christianity. They saw it as a Jewish religion. But the attitude of some of the mainline Christians thinking that God was done with the Jews helped set the stage for much that went under the Nazis. And why do you have this hatred? Why do you have this hatred from Haman? Why does Haman want to destroy the Jews? Why is this demonic hatred of the Jewish people? Because of this contract. God gives them the word. Where does the word of God come from? Salvation comes from the Jews, right? God gives them the promises. The restoration of everything, the coming in of the kingdom of heaven is centered on them. And from them, the Messiah comes. So if Haman can destroy the Jewish people, God's word, his promise, is destroyed, and Messiah can't be born, right? But God doesn't let it happen. As he works in the situation, as he works in the circumstances with Esther, with Mordecai, to stop Haman's genocide of the Jewish people. His promise to Abraham is true, his word is fulfilled, and Jesus is born. Why is there the hatred afterwards of the Jewish people? God's word, his promise, right? We rejoice when we see the Jewish people in Israel, right? God is true. Let every man be a liar, right? But if you're against God, there's a demonic hatred for the Jews. They don't want the promises and the word of God fulfilled. You see it in all the nations of the earth. What are they doing today? As we speak about globalism, they're turning against Israel, right? And we're going to see that Jesus returns when they call upon him. So how much more now this hatred by all these nations to try to destroy Israel? They're the center of God's timepiece. The premillennial, we're premillennial. We believe that Jesus comes back before the millennium. Dispensationalists, I don't like labels to begin with. That label, dispensationalist, has a lot of different, there's so many different forms of dispensationalism that it's almost like lost meaning. If you mean, well, just that God has different periods of time, the way he's revealed himself, you know, from before the flood to before Abraham, to Abraham to Moses, then the law is given, then the time of grace. Well, there is, that's true, right? But if you start to say, well, God deals differently with human beings, some dispensationalists say there are different ways to be saved. They teach there are two ways to be saved. And some dispensationalists who are very for Israel say that the Jew doesn't need to be saved by Jesus. They're under the law. They're under a different dispensation. Matter of fact, there was one thing I read where one dispensationalist saw the church never mentioned, the gospel never mentioned in the Old Testament, that it's like a parenthesis in Jewish history, not related. So there's no relation of the new to the old, and there's nothing of the old to the new. So if you're in the New Testament, you don't have to be concerned about the law whatsoever because you're under grace. You do anything you want to do. You're under a different dispensation. That was for the Jews. That's not for you. You start to see the problem that comes in, right? And the Jewish people can be saved. They don't need to accept Jesus to be saved. Now, the devil's work in the first is very clear, right? And the hideousness of it, of destroying the Jewish people. But think about it. These people that so love the Jewish nation, How much do you love somebody if you do not understand what Paul is teaching very clearly here, that everybody needs Jesus, right? He's teaching this here back in 57 A.D. He's not saying, well, you know, we Jews were in a different dispensation than you Gentiles. Though this is a point over and over again, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So those that are these hyper-dispensationalists, number one, it's not showing the love of God. Sometimes you may think with a family member, if you don't tell them the truth of the gospel, you want to have a loving relationship with them. Well, you might have a good feeling with them that you're not going to have if you tell them the truth. They may bristle, but you don't really love them because they need Jesus as much as you do. And the Jewish people need Jesus just as much as we do. So it's really, in all the talk of love for Israel, it's not really love. And number two, how are they going to say Baruch Haba B'Hashem Adonai if you tell them they don't need Jesus? Right? And that's what the devil wants to stop, because that's the point that Jesus Christ comes back. So even though it's not the outward expression of trying to destroy them as a people to stop Jesus from coming back and God's promises from being true, by replacing the salvation of the gospel, which is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek, by saying, no, this is not necessary for you. We just love Israel so much, you can be established and you don't need Jesus. Now, you should show love for them, but that love should also mean to try to work in the truth. Certainly you can't say the lie, well, you don't need him, because you're doing the devil's work, who's trying to stop them from saying, Baruch Haba B'Hashem Adonai. And if you think of it, you're putting them in a limbo because you've cut off from them the salvation that's needed by all the world. And we were talking about this after church a few weeks back, how there are some great groups that do wonderful work for Israel, but some of their teachers are starting to say, Christian teachers, well, we need Jesus, but you don't. And that goes against everything we've just been studying in the book of Romans. And Lord willing, we'll pick this up next week. Father, we thank you for this book, for your word, and we just pray, Lord, that you help us to be able to communicate the difficult things in this book that are so important for believers to understand, to have a clear understanding of this wonderful grace that you've given us in your Son, Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
On our church website at shiarjashub.org, you will find a library of Bible study radio programs, information about our church, helps, and links to the audio podcasts on Apple and Amazon Music. We live stream the sermon portion of our Sunday morning service at 10:30 on both YouTube and X.com. The videos then remain up on YouTube and X, as well as posted on rumble.com and the church website for 24/7 access. You can find all this information on shiarjashub.org, and you can check Isaiah 7:3 for the spelling of Shiar Jashub.